It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA. Today's a special episode. We're talking about friendship. And who better to have on and co-host with me than my good friend Tatiana. What's up, T?
Oh, just trying to get my life in order, but yeah, everything's good. And I forgot.
It's all good because I had it all planned. I was going to start doing the Houdini rap. You probably don't even know about it. It was a little before your time, but our friends, how many of us have them?
I know that. And please do? Don't. Yes. I don't know that you need to. I don't know that you need to start with that.
I was going to do it. I had it all planned. Then I started thinking about, I was actually going back and forth with everything going on in the world, the mass shooting in Australia, the shooting at Brown University, the double homicide involving Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle.
So there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, should I at least, take a pause of really just say, it is troubling times. And I think even with the Rob Reiner one, probably hit me the hardest, not because of the groundbreaking episode of his legendary director status, but just what it looks like. This is still preliminary, but the drug addiction piece of this and how it impacts families. And that part of it was like, you do want to take a pause. And I just wanted to say to listeners or anyone struggling with drug addiction, substance abuse, it's definitely your choice when to really get help. And I know I really do support the theory that this is a disease. And if you can take a pause and see where it leads, maybe this will push at least one listener who may be struggling to really get help. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that, and, didn't really want to kill the mood, because to me, this is really a lighthearted topic when you talk about friends and kind of going in the other direction of everything we're seeing right now in the world. Anything you want to add to?
What'd you say?
I said anything you want to add?
Oh, just friends is not necessarily a lighthearted topic. I think that in some cases, but I feel like if you're not going to say marriage is a lighthearted topic, which I doubt anybody would say, friendship is not a lighthearted topic, because you have to put the same, or even like family, just whatever relationships, you have to put the same kind of work into friendships and maintaining them. Sometimes they end. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you're in arguments. Sometimes they let you down. Yeah. So that's not necessarily true. I don't want to say that.
No, you went deep on me, and you make a very good point, because honestly, we really use that title so loosely, I think. And I've said that to family members. We'll quickly say this is my friend, and it's like, but are they really?
Somebody I'm friendly with.
Yeah, exactly. Cause I know I have a small circle, even though I have love for everyone, and I know a lot of people, and we're acquainted, where I will still take the shirt off my back for them, but there's a small circle who I say like true friends, and those people know who they are. And they're trusted with information. I really can vent when I go through. They know more about me than anyone else. So those people are my friends. I have their backs. They have mine. So yeah, that's a, and again, in the immortal words of Houdini, you know, friends, a word we use every day. Some of us use it in the wrong way. We can look the word up again and again, but the dictionary doesn't know the meaning of friends, right?
So you said you was going to do the lyrics, but I just, you're doing it. You're doing it. You already said it. You said the chorus earlier. Now you said words from the verse. Like, just, you might as well have just did it. You might as well have just gone ahead and did it.
Well, when you went Confucius on me and, you know, start breaking it down from a philosophical perspective, I was like, okay, that you rolled out the carpet for me to kind of throw that bar. So,
yeah.
But it's an important topic, you know. And like, so you said something that just really resonated with me too about the disappointments. Like, do we expect too much from our friends too? Like, when we ask for something, because I can tell you how I am. I'm one of those people who have a hard time asking. And so when I do, and then I don't get the response that I think, it can be really hurtful sometimes. And that's why it's hard for me to pull the trigger and ask for help. And I remember it was some post a few years ago that read, "Stop crossing the ocean for people who won't even jump over a pond for you." Yeah. And that to me just really, it was really impactful. So,
yeah, in terms of do we expect too much? I think that you should be able to have expectations of people who mean something to you. But I do think that, and I mean, everybody has their own opinions on this. And my thing is, the reason why I get upset if my friends let me down or something is because I am willing to inconvenience myself for people that I care about. And so when I then ask somebody for something, which I don't feel like I ask for much, when I ask for something and they let me down, it's just kind of like, but I'm willing to inconvenience myself and you don't, you know, come, you know, the same kind of direction. So it just kind of irritates me. I don't like people when people are flaky. Like if they say they're going to do something, they don't do it. Because again, I don't do that. Like if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I follow through. Like my mom always said, all you have is your word. Like you need to be a person of your word. And so like, really what it is that I maybe sometimes expect me from people, and that's not necessarily a fair expectation, but that's just my personal opinion. I think that you should be able to expect things from people who you are close with or have some kind of relationship with, especially if you're not asking things that are unreasonable. Like I was just telling you before we got on that I'm trying to get people to come to my birthday weekend in DC next month. I'm trying to coordinate a birthday weekend. And it's like, I just planned somebody's 40th birthday in Mexico and got people to go and flew and got a passport so my child could go to this trip. So unless you already got something planned that weekend or you got a real good excuse, I'm not trying to hear you not trying to come for my birthday. I'm not even leaving the country. So,
yeah. No, I hear you. Wow. Set me back. I was in my brain. I got to start taking notes because it was like so much I wanted to say with in your response. But I will say you made me think about the inconvenience piece because I remember one time I won't say what it was I was asking for because then the person will know and the other people may know too. But they complained the whole time.
You put your sister on blast on the last episode. This time you don't want to put this person on blast. I just want to note that for the record. Okay, keep telling us.
Keep telling your story. That was lighthearted, though. And, more to come on the sister piece. But they complained the whole time, T. And I said to them, I said, I promise you, I will never ask for anything again. And I didn't. And I haven't. And so it just, because... And then I can think about my friend, my blood brother, my cousin, who's in the police academy with me, and Rodney. He's been on the show a few times, and he and I was actually having this conversation yesterday, and he forgot about a lot of this stuff. Two things: my car broke down in another city. It was one of the coldest days in the that year, and he stopped. It was late at night. I was trying to head to an off-duty gig, and he stopped everything, and I had a beater, you know, because it was a struggling time. I had financed a car that died on me, and I didn't want to ruin my credit, so I kept paying on that car and then bought a beater, and he was in the middle of the night trying to fix his car for me, and I just... they don't make friends like that, you know? And the funny part is we didn't learn we were related until the police academy. So, he didn't really know me that well. And he forgot.
When you say Rodney?
Yeah, I'm talking about Rodney.
Oh, okay.
Rodney is one of those exteriors, tough on the outside, but will do anything for anyone, really has a big heart. And so then the other thing, he totally forgot this, because there's probably three people I ever asked for to lend me money back in the day, and he was one of them. And he forgot about it, and I remember him saying, hey, pay me back when you can, no limit or anything. And I worked extra jobs just so I could pay him back, because that, for someone to trust me and lend me money like that, I was like, I'm not going to let them down. So, you know, just those things just stand out. You know, you go from one person who there, and I think it's really going back. Now I'm going to take it to a spiritual level, you know, because you have churches and who some will ask for money. The church that I attended for years, the pastor would always say, if your heart's not in it, I don't want your money, right? Because it's about the heart, not about the gesture or the action. And it's the same thing. That person did something for me, but they complained the whole time. I don't want that. I want someone who says, hey, like you just said, it's an inconvenience, but I'm going to be there for that person.
Yeah, that just reminded me. I know you want it to be so lighthearted, but it reminds me of an opposite story. When I was in undergrad in Nebraska, you know, I'm from Chicago. So in Chicago, I didn't, even though I had a driver's license, I didn't have a car because I used public transportation to get everywhere. Like the buses and the trains, you stand there, if you miss a bus, it's going to be another one coming in 10 minutes. So it's like, it's fine. And like, I moved to Nebraska, and if I was trying to go off campus, if I miss a bus, it ain't gonna be another one coming for an hour. And it was, and they don't go everywhere. Like you can only get to certain places. If you go somewhere, you might have to walk a little bit after. So it just wasn't, mm-hmm. It's just not as big of a city. It doesn't have as good of a public transportation system. And so I decided when I moved off campus that I needed to have a car. And so I went and purchased a car. You know, luckily I had like a credit card when I turned 18, because, you know, they start telling you to get a credit card when you turn 18, and I had one. And so I had built up a credit score. So I was able to then, you know, finance this car. But when I went to get the license plates for it and I handed them my out-of-state driver's license, the lady at the DMV was like, do you have any idea how much this is about to cost you right now? And I was like, no. She's like, yeah, when I saw your out-of-state driver's license, I figured I might want to tell you that in Nebraska, you pay the sales tax on the car at the time that you registered the vehicle. So it was like $1,200 and something dollars. Wow. And I was like a college student. I didn't have... you know, yeah. That kind of money. I'm like 19. Like, I didn't have that kind of money. And I was like, yeah, I can't do this right now. And like, I left. And I was telling my friend about this who I worked with at the campus library. And she was like, I can lend you the money. And I was like, you have that kind of money? And she was like, yeah, I can lend it to you. She's like, I mean, you, because I was her ride. Like, we had two jobs together. We worked together on campus library, and then we worked somewhere else that was off campus, and I would travel. She was like, so it benefits me for you to have a car as well. Like, I'll lend you the money. So I was like, wow, thanks. So she lent me the money, and then she started immediately pestering me about getting it back.
Oh, wow.
Like, within, like, I feel like a couple, like, maybe a week or two, like, she starts... we ain't gonna make like that, which if I didn't have it,
yeah,
how am I gonna have it that quickly? And we didn't talk about a timeline or whatever. And she just was passionate. And it was just, it was really like a problem. I was just like, wow, like, I wish you didn't even loan me this money. So I'm telling my mom about it. And my mom ended up paying her back. And my mom inconvenienced herself to pay her back just so that we could get this problem out of our friendship. But I don't think I've ever accepted money from a friend, like, on a loan type thing. Yeah. Maybe somebody has maybe given. Yes. Like, hey, I want to give you this. And so there is no expectation of getting it back. But in terms of a loan, I don't think anybody has loaned me money since then. And I don't know that I would want a loan.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree. Families and friendships have really just broken up because I just have clear rules. I don't lend money. And I know, you know, I just talked about my situation with Rod, but I will give it to you. I just, because I know, usually it's just it becomes awkward. And then oftentimes it's a burden, believe it or not, not just on the lender, but the borrower. That person feels this heavy debt, and sometimes they avoid you. I mean, I've heard all kinds of stories, you know, and to your point, you know, you're lending money to someone who, and now some things can go, it can be some unique circumstances. I'm not getting away from that, but more often than not, that person has already demonstrated that they're in a position where they can't, you know, afford to pay you back. And so you lend them money with the expectation that they pay you back. It's almost comical when you think about it. And then you're frustrated with them, and they've already, you already knew who you were dealing with, you know, so.
Yeah. Even when somebody is asking, I would much rather they ask, can I have X amount of money, and not ask, can I borrow it, if you know that you're not planning on giving it back. Just ask me, can you have it?
Yeah. Just ask me. I would rather that all day. I'd rather have that. And the other part, you were talking about transportation and driver's license. I remember going back to the friendship piece when I was walking and trying to save up and get a car as a teenager. And I remember when I did finally get my car, and I said, you know, those who didn't want to walk with me will not be riding with me. And it was really just my way of saying the people who were really my friends were my friends when I couldn't do anything for them. And
virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bags stuffed full of grub. These are the things that the black farmers hug. Turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herbs to hoop cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmer.
Couldn't do anything for them. And now that I'm in a position where I can take them from A to B, you know, you had all these people, hey, can you take me here? You know, especially you're a teenager, people in the neighborhood, everyone wanted a ride all of a sudden, you know, people who you never wouldn't even speak to you. So friendship is a tricky story. No, I won't say any stories or anything.
No, I'm saying me. What you just said reminded me of another story.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought you.
It's probably not one I should tell. Especially, well, because you. I feel like you had intentions of this being like a happy, positive conversation. Every time you're talking about things, I get stories pop up in my head of when somebody did not. You know,
that's okay though, because our guests. Like, yeah, we got two sets of friends, and they're gonna. You know, sprinkle some happiness on this. So, yeah, what you got?
Well, just about the right. So like when I was also an undergrad, my job's in Nebraska, I was at a predominantly white university. And I remember I wanted to like plug in with the Black, you know, community at a certain point, because I'm from Chicago. And then suddenly at a point I just started feeling like there's so much whiteness I'm surrounded by. I really need to get, you know, back to some people in my like community. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to go to this like Black leadership conference that was going to be out of state. And I had like found out about it from somebody at on campus at the university. And then they told me that there was somebody else who wanted to go on the trip. Mm-hmm. And she had asked if she could know like who else from the university was going, because she wanted to know about carpooling. And I was like, and they were like, is it okay if we give her information? I was like, oh yeah, sure. So she did, they did, we end up carpooling, we end up becoming friends. Mm-hmm. But mind you, I just felt like that's where our friendship then went for like ever. Cause she just did not have a car. She was out of state student, and she just was constantly asking for rides all the time. Like that felt like it was a very much a basis of our relationship. Yeah. And then later on, this is where it gets tea.
Yeah.
Later on, like, I want to say maybe a year or so into our friendship. She ends up asking me if she could go out with this guy that I had dated. She wanted my permission to go out with him.
Yeah.
And I was taken aback because girl code, you do not go out with your friends.
Yeah.
And so she asked me like, hey, I want to know if I could have your blessing. And I said, and I don't remember my exact words, but it was something along the lines of, oh, you don't have my blessing. I was like, you do not have my blessing. I said, if you feel like that person is your soulmate, that is the person that you are meant to be with on this earth. You are a grown person and you do what you need to do. If that's what you feel like this is, that's your person, do what you need to do. But you are making a choice. Yeah. You are choosing your relationship with that person and not our friendship, because we will not be friends if you go out with this person.
Yeah.
I was like, he was just, well, he was just with me last month. And now you got the nerve to ask me if you could like go out with him. I was like, this is totally a violation. And I was like, you know, so I'm not going to give you my blessing, but you're a grown person who can make your own decisions. And if that's what you choose to do, that's what you're going to choose to do. But we're not going to be friends anymore. And she was just so surprised. She was like, oh, wow. Okay. Like I won't go out. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And he and I still had a line of communication open. So I called him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, like, this is totally not cool. Like, why would you try to go out with my friend? Like, what would make you think that's okay? And he said, whoa. He said, she tried to ask me out and I told her that I would not go out with her because I knew that she was your friend.
Oh,
he said,
wow.
He said, I'm not trying to go out with her. I told her that I'm like, that I would not do that to you when she tried to approach. I said, so you told her that that was unacceptable and she had the nerve to ask me anyway? Because maybe, I guess she was thinking if I was cool with it, that he would have a different reaction.
Yeah.
That made me even more mad. I was like, he told you that that was not appropriate. If you still have the nerves to come and ask me this, our friendship never recovered.
Oh, I bet. Let me ask you this, because I'm going to hit you with something. Did you ever share things with her about you and this guy? Like what a great guy he was, or some positive things about him to her?
I don't remember, but he and I mean, we broke up, so I don't know that what I would have had to say would have been that. Cause honestly, he was quite, controlling. Like he was African. They have a different cultural, you know, way of being in a relationship. He was from Zimbabwe and, he just had a different demeanor in relationships. And with me being the kind of direct person that I am, it was a rub between us. And I think at some point he said like, you're an alpha and you can't have two alphas in a relationship. And so that was like a big thing in between the two of us. And he had these really super long toenails.
Oh,
and I remember telling him,
say
like,
no more.
I was like, you gotta do it. But no. I said, you gotta do something about this. I would like you to get a pedicure. He refused. He wouldn't do it. He's like, I'm not getting a pedicure. Blah, blah, blah. And so like, I don't know. So I had very clear reasons for why we did not work out. So I don't know if I would have said something contrary. I feel like those are probably the kinds of things I would have been talking about. Even though he was a great guy, he was getting his master's in actuarial science. He was like from a relationship perspective, it was not, you know, somebody that I would want to be in a relationship with, but he was a good person outside of trying to date him. So I don't think I would have been like, oh, he's such a great boyfriend, even though I feel like I do get what you're probably suggesting, which is that sometimes people hear that a guy is so great, then they're like, oh, let me get him.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible way of thinking. Like, but at least you want somebody's happiness.
Exactly. But at least in those cases, you kind of threw out you planted a seed, for lack of better words, but it's in her to betray you already. It was unsolicited, nothing thrown out there. Even he said this is wrong, and she still took it upon herself.
He was like, and that's what I'm saying, because he was a good guy. He just wasn't a good guy to be in a relationship with. He was a good guy. So I was like, why would you? And the fact that we even stayed in communication, she gave me a graduation gift. We were not dating anymore. Yeah. He reached out to me like years after on LinkedIn and was like, I see everything you're doing. I just want to let you know I'm so proud of you. Like, he's a good guy. He just wasn't, you know, we didn't match from a relationship perspective.
So I was just like, why would you?
Yeah. And then I saw this.
Okay.
But we were like, we were friends on Snapchat, and like after we broke up, I saw him at like getting a pedicure. And I was like, you told me you were not getting a pedicure, and now with this girl you in now, you getting a pedicure. And he said, she didn't give me a choice. He said, she just drove me down here to get the pedicure. She didn't ask me. You asked me. And so I was able to say no. She just drove me down here and didn't give me a choice.
That is
so
hilarious.
I was like, okay, that's the strategy. But yeah, and that girl, she did have it in her. Cause I also talked to somebody about this who I was going to church at the time, and somebody I went to church with knew her. And she said she did the same thing to me. Like she steals me in. Like, that's just something that she does. I think she has daddy issues and she likes to steal men from people. And like, that's just a thing that she does. So like, you know, it was in her, so that was the story that came about.
See, now I'm going to it was a friend, a really good friend, I thought, and he did the exact same thing two times, really. And it was someone else who told me. So basically the first thing was, we're in high school, and I'm going back now, high school. And I was dating this person, and she was out. I thought she was out that day. She told me she wasn't coming to class. And I said, and I'm telling him, wow, I get to flirt. She's not here today. I can go around and flirt with everyone. And so when she comes in, she's like, hey, so you said you get to flirt today. He's the only one I said this to. And I was like, wow. And so this other dude who had a reputation of really hurting people badly came to me and said, I was trying to tell you this dude he will stab you in the back. Now, past high school, we're at this party. I won't get too detailed in it, but I had a date with this person, and the whole time he was like flirting with her. This was our first date. And I'll admit, I wasn't my normal, colorful, charming self that I am. You're supposed to say, no, you're not charming, but anyway, I leave.
I sent you what's known don't need to be said.
Okay. I take her home, and he goes back after I drop her off. So they had this sidebar conversation while I was not around. And the only reason I found out, because some other friends of ours told me that morning, they're like banging on my door. Hey, I got to tell you, your boy stabbed you in the back. It was wrong what he did. And, you know, and so sure enough, while they're telling me this, he calls and I answer the phone and I tell him, I said, hey, guy, we're not friends. I'm going to just let you know we're not friends. And he's like, and I told him clearly, I said, it is not about her. It's about how you did it. Cause I didn't know her. I met her I won't say the sorority name, at NC State. And we just decided to go out that one time. So it was just murky the way both of them did it. So, man, we're making this a real bad stab you in the back friend episode. What are we doing?
What's your intention? Because we can go in another. We won't have a lot of time because I know you got
No.
What did you want to talk about?
So we're running out. We're gonna let our guests. So to your point about my baby sister, I have my sister Helen and her best friend, Michelle. I've known Michelle for years. I adore their friendship. They are going to come on. And this is what's surprising me right here now. Whitney and Jazz, like Whitney, those who know Whitney know that this is a big deal. I got her on, and her and Jazz are going to talk about their friendship. So I have two sets of friends, and they're going to lighten this thing up.
Okay, sorry, listeners.
No, it's good. Hey, they need to hear both sides too, right?
I'm just saying. Yeah, don't trust everybody.
Anything before we close out?
Well, I'll just say a kudos to you on being such a great friend to me, to give just like a good, and I do, like, to the point that I was making earlier, that you have to work on your friendships. You know, there have been times, since we've been friends for years now, it's been probably 8 years or so.
Yeah.
Something, because it'll be coming up on that in 2026. But there have been times where we've struggled to communicate, and we've worked on trying to communicate better with one another, and like see, you know, where the other person's coming from. And to the point that I remember one time when I was having like a therapy session, and I was just talking about like who I come to for things. And your name just always comes up when I'm talking about stuff. And my therapist says something like, that sounds like that's like the only person in your life that you feel safe talking to. And I was like, oh, wow. Wow. For her to say that. So thank you for being a safe place.
Of course.
I hope none of my other friends or family hears this and they'd be like, what? I just thank you for being the same space.
Same here. And they're, like I was saying, a small circle. You already know you're in it. And because you know more about me than now. There are friends I've had for years and they don't even know particular. So like, yeah.
And it's a vault.
Yep, so
don't come to me trying to ask me questions, people.
And what I like about it is when you're wrong, you admit it and come to me and let me know that you're wrong.
It depends on what it is.
I'm just playing. No, but so,
I don't know about that. You're trying to reverse psychology into something.
Oh, I had to throw that out there, man. No. The feeling's mutual, man. It is good to have people you can confide, because you really need an avenue to vent, and you need someone you can really just talk to. And I remember, I'll tell you this about not getting too detailed about marital status, but my wife and I, so this weekend, you know, she was in a mood, and she hugged me and said, you know, I apologize, I'm just having a rough weekend. And I was like, man, if she would, you know, like more people and like her can admit when she's wrong. And if I'm ever, ever, ever wrong, if that's a big if. But to be able to, you know what type of healing process that was? Just to hug and say, you know, I apologize. I mean, it carries a lot of weight. I think you and I were talking about that the other day when I think I mentioned the word vulnerability. And it's like, we're in this world now where people just don't want to be vulnerable on all accords. When you talk about friendship, relationships, leadership, you could go on and on about vulnerability. And like I was saying to you sometime this week, I think it's empowering, actually. You know, you're showing that you're comfortable enough to open up. But you shouldn't do it with everyone. You have to be really cautious about that.
But to your point, this will be the last thing, because I know we started trying to wrap up like 5 minutes ago. But last thing, to your point, because we also just recently in the last week looked at this clip that I sent you where the guy was saying basically like, if you are trying to say that your spouse is your best friend, like that comes with like a lot of communication or whatever. Yeah. And even if your spouse isn't your best friend, even if you have other best friends inside of your relationship, which is fine, your spouse is still a friend to you. And so there is a level of vulnerability and communication that comes with that. Yeah. It brought a tear to my eye when you just said how she apologized, and that was a really nice, sweet moment. But like, you have to be willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
In relationships, if your partner is supposed to be not only your lover but also your friend, you have to be willing to be vulnerable.
That's
deep. That's my life, right?
No, that was so spot on. Wow, I can't even. So, man, I honestly, I was getting to say something else, but we do have to go. maybe we do another episode because really there was another set who were scheduled to be on, and Whitney and Jazz stepped in at the 11th hour. So I'm forever grateful for that. But that other set said they would love to come back. One of the friends is stuck in Hong Kong, and so she just couldn't get out right now. So what we'll do is maybe we'll have a part two, and we'll, because we could go on and on about this.
Really good.
Yeah. Well, thank you, T, as always. You be safe out there. Good luck on the concert. You know, I hope you find takers and people who are really willing to give back just a little of what you give back to all of us all the time.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, y'all. When we come back, Whitney and Jazz, Helen and Michelle, y'all, talking about friendship.
Imagine this. She could be your best friend, your sister, your coworker. She could even be you. On the outside, she looks like she has it all together. A nice home, a polished smile, maybe even the dream job. But behind closed doors, silence is her survival. That silence helps no one. 1 in 4 women will face abuse in her lifetime. And while some forms of abuse are easy to spot, others hide in plain sight. Behind wealth, success, and respectability, it's called upscale abuse. In John and Susie, 1 woman in 4 is a Susie, author Kelly Jones pulls back the curtain on traditional and upscale abuse. With raw stories, urgent insights, and practical tools, she introduces the powerful BOSS framework, showing how abusers choose, trap, and control their victims. More importantly, she gives survivors and allies the clarity and courage to recognize danger before it's too late. John and Susie isn't just awareness. It's a call to action. It shows how abuse ripples beyond the victim to children, families, friends, even bystanders, and it gives us all the tools to respond with compassion and safety. John and Susie, 1 woman in 4 is a Susie by Kelly Jones, is available on Amazon. Awareness is the first step. Action is the next step. Don't wait.
Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25
pass. All right, beautiful people, we are back. And as I said earlier, when Tots and I were on, today is a special episode. We're talking about friendship. We're not talking about Instagram friends, you know, the social media pals and all that other stuff. We're talking about real friendship, real boundaries, real growth, real opportunities to confide in one another. So to help me break it down, I have two sets of friends. I'm going to start with my sister. Y'all heard me brag about her cooking last week. Helen. How are you, sis?
Hey, good. Hey,
good, good. And she has her best friend, Michelle. And I've known Michelle for years. Really, really good people. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good, good. I'm so happy to have y'all on, by the way. This is going to be great. So two special people. Now, my other set of friends are also two special people on the verge of greatness. My pal, y'all hear me talk about Whit and Jazz all the time. Whitney, Jazz, how are y'all?
We doing good.
Good.
Good, AC.
I am so excited to have y'all. This is going to be lighthearted, but I'm going to start right off the gate. I'm going to ask Michelle and Helen, how did y'all meet and what made it stick for you two?
You want to start?
Ahead, Helen, go ahead, Helen.
Actually, we met at a nursing home. We both were trying to go to school for CNA.
Mm-hmm.
We actually sat at separate tables And we really didn't even talk to each other. That's the funny thing. I looked at her, I was like, she looks like a person that doesn't want to be bothered, so I'm not going to bother. So, yeah, but we ended up being friends. Want to elaborate on that, Michelle?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, we ended up being friends through that really early on. We worked side by side while we were in CNA class. A couple of things that sticked out for me with Helen was like every day Helen, everybody that knows Helen knows she loves to eat, right? Like it doesn't matter. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, she loves to eat. And so every day she would come into class and she'll be like, y'all, what we eating today? Every day. And so we made this bet before she came into class and they were like, I bet you Helen's going to come in today and say, what we eating today? And sure enough, she came in and she said that line and I just bust out laughing. It was the funniest thing to me. And she just always, you know, just had that attitude about her where she just engaged and you know, equipped the room, right? Like she just lighted up, she lit up the room, so to speak, with her attitude and her, you know, her overall joking and funny manner. So yeah, and that's how it started. We just started at this nursing home and it just continued to grow.
I love it. I love it. I appreciate that. So Whit and Jazz, tell me your story.
I'm gonna let Whit go first because I wanna see what she said, how we met first.
Mutual friend at the time. Mm-hmm. And Jazz also went to a workout class with a lady that I'm also friends with. And then she started working for the police department. And that's really how we met, through mutual people.
That's right. Okay.
I wasn't gonna remember?
No, because, so I'm gonna tell you first, right? So I was about to make a career change coming over. And then so the mutual friend was like, yeah, so my friend is a lieutenant, right? And so I was like, oh, okay. So she hit her up. I think she was on vacation like she always did. She's always on a vacation, right?
Not too much.
Then she had connected us to one other person. That's Whitney had connected us to one other person. And then after that, I recognized her first because I was like, this woman looked familiar. And, you know, she'd be having that tough girl face on, but I could see right through it because I always say, like, recognize light, but she had her tough girl face on. But I was like, I like it.
Yes. Both and good so, stories.
Yeah. We, We just linked up, like, yeah.
I love both stories. So I'm going to ask that. This is going to be very interesting. I'll start with Whit and Jazz. Who is the calm one, the wild one, the problem solver, and the comedian? I want to hear this.
Well, one, there ain't no calm one in either one of
us. That's why I went there.
But if we had to do somebody, it'd probably definitely be her before it's me. She got a little bit more patience than I got. Just a little bit.
I think that Whit is the more level-headed one. I think that she's a person, she's not only ambitious, but she knows what she wants. I think what drives her crazy about me is that, I say this all the time, like, I'm very optimistic, like, no, it's going to be okay. I don't know what I want to do next. And she's like, no, you have to be realistic, Jasmine. We can't live out here. And I'd be like, Whit, you got a dream.
You got to have one dream, Jazz. Not
dreams. I have tons of them. But I would say that she's more level-headed. She would be the more level-headed person in our relationship. I would say that My nickname is, I have two nicknames. One is Kumbaya, which is great. That's on the one end of the spectrum. Sometimes I can be very peaceful. And, you know, Jazz, they said, when I go dark, I'll turn into Tasman. So, but Whitney got that dog in her too, so it's good. That's what I like about her so much, that boldness, and she got that dog in her, so I know I got somebody to hold me down.
Oh, I love those answers. So now, Michelle and Helen, like the same question, who's the problem solver, you know, who's the comedian, who's the wild one, the calm one, what do y'all say?
I'll say Michelle is more reserved. She's definitely the calm one.
I concur.
I can be calm too. Don't
do that. Yes, you can. I think that's a mutual thing. We both can, you know. I guess it depends on the actual moment of calmness. Yep. Wild, I don't foresee either one of us being wild. Comedian, I don't know, Helen, what you think? I think I'm the comedian I keep her laughing all the time.
We both have our moments.
All right, let's hear it. No,
yeah, but in problem solving, we share that together. We bounce off each other, right? Yep. Like we just, you know, we just fit. So
yeah, good answers. So let me ask you all this, because I'm listening to both sets and it sounds like y'all are very much alike, your friend, and oftentimes you compliment each other. There's like y'all balance each other out. So how do your personalities do they complement or clash? Because what I'm hearing, y'all seem alike. So Michelle and Helen, I'll start with you. Are y'all personalities complementary or are they clashing?
No, I think they complement.
Yeah, I do too. Like, I agree.
I'm upset about something, I can, you know, calm her and reassure her, and vice versa. Same thing.
Yeah. If
that I call her, she's like, it's okay. You know, she calms me. It's we're there for each other in the same way.
Right. It's that motivating and encouraging, you know, that encouraging word at the least expected time. Sometimes, I mean, we can pretty much, I mean, we're talking almost 30 years of friendship. So
wow.
It's like Helen, sometimes she can call me and say, you know, you okay? And I'm not okay. So she knows, she has that insight. And vice versa. Like, I could give her a call and like, hey, how you doing? She's like, I'm okay. And then you can tell, like, yeah, no, you're not okay. So, yeah, I think our personalities complement each other and, you know, just
wow,
connect.
Heartfelt answers right there. Now to my two wild ones. No, I'm just playing. To my two pals, what do y'all say? Do y'all compliment or clash?
I would say we compliment each other. I would say this about Whitney, right? It takes a lot to get in her circle. And we both talked about it the other day. Like, yeah, you have like at least three good friends within your lifetime. And they said that some people's there for a reason, some people's there for a season. And I would say that in my toughest moment, Whitney has my back. And she was on my, I only had four people who was like, to get through. My phone stayed on do not disturb when I was going through a real hard time. And she was one of the four people who could get through outside of my husband. And so she keeps me grounded. I know that she is like tough on the outside, but she's real soft, because this is what she says to me. She goes, oh, friend. Oh, she always, when she said that, all friend, all boo-boo, I knew I had her. And we've only been friends for the last 3 years, and in friendships that, like, Miss Helen was saying about friendships, like 30 years, I've had friends for about that, like, since I was in second grade. So it would have been like
be 30 years, but I wouldn't say that the intimate part of our friendship, I would say that it's more, she's the confidant. Whitney's somebody that I talk to about my husband, my children, and I know that it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to stay between her and I, and she's going to guide me back to where a place where I'm grounded. So I would say that we definitely complement one another. What you say, Whit?
I agree. Like, because I be going off and Jazz put that word on me. And I ain't got no choice but to listen, because she know I ain't listening to nothing else but that.
Oh, this is good stuff.
So, and I think that's an important part. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. I think that's an important part. And I think that Ms. Helen and Michelle just said that, like, when you're encouraging one another, that's really important. You listen to your friend. You not be passive with your friend. Like, I'm very assertive. When we don't agree with one another, we might have things that we don't agree on. And when we don't agree on it, I'd be like, friend, I don't agree with that. And she would be like, okay, well, I'm still sticking to whatever I'm sticking to. And I'd be like, okay, well, you're still wrong. And then she'll say, don't pray for something like that. And I'd be like, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to pray for the thing that is supposed to be.
Y'all are hilarious. So we're all in agreement that y'all, both sets of friends, y'all tell each other what you need to hear, not what you think they want to hear. Y'all are totally honest with each other in that regard.
That's why I knew Jazz was my friend, because if she don't tell me the stuff that I need to hear, then I can't rock with it. I mean, we can be cool, but I can't say you my friend. Yeah. I'm very strong and level headed, so I need somebody to be like, nah, so you wrong.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So let me ask you all this. Well, I'll start with you, Jazz and Whit. What is the one thing you admire most about each other?
If I start, I would say that I love the way that she parents her children. Mm. I think that she is, even though she's hard on the outside, I said that she is very gentle and feminine when she's around her husband and children. And I love how she cultivates, like, the relationship with her children. I love that. And then even how she leads, like, seeing her in a work environment, she will lead with her with passion, and everybody knows that she's very direct. Like, I love that part. I don't like people that beat around the bush. So I admire her, like, how she mothers. I love the way she shows her husband grace. And I love the way she leads within the workplace.
Oh, thanks, Jazzy.
Good stuff.
I think for me, like, Jazz has the biggest heart, and especially for community. She is determined that she is going to serve this community she lives in. And I absolutely love and adore that about her. She is very selfless.
Yeah. That is deep. Mm-hmm. Michelle and Helen.
Yes. Helen, oh, wow. She's a shero, right? I admire her passion and her drive and determination to be successful in what she do, and to be, just trustworthy and focused and driven, right, on her day-to-day walk in life. She's a big part of my life because of her motivation, how she motivates others. Like, she motivated me to go back to school, and I didn't just go back to school to get one degree. I went back to school to get three, and she motivated me. She encouraged me, and she didn't stop. Like, she was like, I'm going to school to get my degree. You going to school to get yours. Right. So I admire that in her. She really cares and has passion about people in general, just not about herself, but about others. And so that's what I admire most about her.
Mm-hmm. You talking about my sister, right?
Your sister.
Oh, Helen.
Michelle. She is selfless. Like, she's the type of person that everybody depends on. You can go to her for anything. And she puts everybody before herself, which that's something I encourage her not to do so much, but she will do it. Even if she doesn't want to, she will still be there for others no matter what. She is definitely a leader. You know, a workaholic. She pretty much is a person that put others before herself. But yeah, she is that friend you can definitely depend on. And I admire all of that about her.
Good. Y'all making this mushy now, all of this positive energy. We need it. We need it too, because we started off at the beginning of the show like with some pretty bad stories. So now, do y'all think men and women handle friendships differently?
Absolutely, I do.
I'll solve with.
I can only speak for my husband, but like he doesn't say that he has a best friend. He just be like, they my boys. And I be like, what y'all talk about? Nothing deep. They be talking about sports. They don't be talking about no women. They don't care about us. They don't hit no deep stuff, just on the surface type of stuff. So I don't know how they, you know, manage to have friendships like that, but they do.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I mean, I think it's more masculinity. Males don't lead with emotion.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do as women. We lead with emotion. And so I just think that, you know, yeah, definitely they handle friendship differently than we do.
And I would say yes as well, because if I ask my husband, well, what is his friend like? He'll say a specific friend that he does martial arts with. For like, and they've been, you know, down for like 4 or 5 years, and he talks about him all the time. We're like, oh, well, what's his wife's name? What's his kid's name? He be like, I know the wife's name, I just don't know the kid's name. I'm like, how you friends with somebody you don't even know their kid's name? Like, we could, like, I know my friend's kid's name. They don't get like real deep. And yes, I think that the relationship is really different. Like, I know my friend's kid's name. I know their birthdays. Yeah. I know special events that they have going on in their life. We invite each other to special events. I think that deepens the relationship, like community.
And that's what
what's up with, man?
Y'all be doing too much, man. That's all I'm going to tell you.
We
got birthdays and kids' name. And yeah, that's a lot, man.
Yeah,
if I need you to ride with me to, you know, go to the game, I know you ride with me. We're cool. That's my boy.
I mean, we do that too. But I mean, yeah, we know stuff about each other.
We know stuff. Important.
Y'all know what teams y'all like.
Now, I will tell you a secret. Like, the one-on-one, like, there's a difference with us in the group setting. Like, with all of us, to Michelle's point about the emotions, they're definitely suppressed in the group setting. But if it's like me and just that friend, you will see. And I guess everyone's different, but my experience with friends, when it's just two of us, that's when we are a lot more vulnerable. So, but I just had to throw that out there because I noticed that all of my guests are women. And I just wanted to see what y'all thought about that. Now, let me ask you this, since you mentioned kids and marriage and all that good stuff. I guess it would be more applicable to Michelle and Hallen. Did the marriage and kids change the dynamics of your friendship? Because I think Whitney and Jazz, y'all met after the fact, right? After the marriages.
Yes.
Yeah. So So let's start with Michelle and Helen. How did it change y'all?
Our dynamics. I think in the beginning it did. But I don't know.
Well, you probably were all booed up and wasn't giving Michelle any attention. Michelle trying to reach you. You weren't answering the phone. And I'm just imagining.
No.
Well, let me hear from Michelle.
I won't say it changed a great deal. I mean, I understood that, of course, she was a wife and, her life had changed a little bit, her schedule, but she was always reachable, right? Like I could pick up the phone and call her, she would respond. I think our biggest time or issue was when we were both in school, and that was kind of hard to stay in touch with each other because we were both going to school at the same time and she's trying to juggle being a mom and a wife. I'm juggling being a mother. So, it was kind of hard to stay connected, but overall with marriage, with marriage and having kids and careers, we still was able to connect. We didn't call each other as often. Mm-hmm. But like where our friendship is like that now, like I could go, not that I want to go, but we may go a week or two not talking to each other and then just pick right back up. Like the next time we get on the phone, we pick up where we left off and it's like, okay. So, I don't see it was a big change. Okay. But yeah.
Oh, good answer. Dude, Jazz and Quit, do y'all have time for it? Like, even though y'all met after the fact, Michelle made me think of something. She said they can go a week or two without communicating. Do y'all go that long or are y'all a little more frequent?
No, we definitely probably go that long because life is busy. But we understand that too, like they do. It's hard. Both of us were in school too. She just got her degree and I'm still working on
Congrats, Jazz.
Congratulations. And who knows what else she's finna be doing. But she was also into different other programs and working overtime. It just is a lot. And so I think you give each other grace with that, knowing that you're not going to talk to them every day because there's no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jen.
I was going to say, because one of our first like meetups outside of the work environment too was with our children. We kind of have like that same gap within our two children. We have a big gap, like the older one and then a younger one. And one of our first meetups was about that with the kids. And then we talked about husbands. So like Whit and I have a lot of things in common. And so when we go like a week or two without like speaking to each other, it'll be like a morning. We'll text and then we'll be talking on the phone. And then we have been very intentional about like meeting up when it's been a little too long since we've seen each other in person, since we are not in the same work environment anymore. We'll schedule a time like we meeting up tomorrow. It's like, we know we have an understanding, and that's one of the things that I appreciate the most about this friendship. Like, it's about reciprocity, but we also show one another grace. So I really appreciate that part.
I love it. So let me ask y'all this. Who is most likely to forget the other person's birthday? And I'm going to... Who do I start with? Let me start with Jazz and Quit on that. One of y'all mentioned birthdays and all this other stuff. I think it was Jazz. She was doing the detective thing, wanting to know everything. So who misses, who forgets the other person's birthday?
I think that we've been very intentional. I put it on my calendar on purpose and I set up the day before and then I do the 10 minutes of the day up and the 1 hour after. Like, I am bad with that like, because I do have a lot of things on my calendar, and I know that she does as well. So I put everything on my calendar with an alarm for those things, because in a previous friendship, I did, and I messed up that. I think that I messed up that friendship because of that. Yeah, so I'm very intentional about doing that now because of the heartache I caused somebody else by missing a birthday. I didn't know it was going to be what it is. It turned out to be. So I'm very intentional about trying to stay on top of that now.
Wow. I appreciate you being open about that. Yeah. Whit?
It is also on my calendar because I'm not about to get fussed out.
Speaking of which, so my cousin, y'all know we're pretty tight. He will whine if you, he'll call, you know, today was my birthday, you know, like, I'm sorry. I'm just not that guy. I don't really, it has nothing to do with how much I care about him or anything like that. But I just, and maybe I need to be more intentional. I'm glad Jazz mentioned that. So I got to think about that. Michelle and Hallen, who's more likely to forget the other's birthday?
I don't recall either one of us forgetting each other's birthday. I also make sure the important people that are in my life, I put their birthday on my calendar and my phone, so I don't forget. I don't forget. So her birthday is definitely in my phone.
Okay. Yeah, because I am the powder. I am going to say,
Oh, yeah.
You got some yesterday. Oh, yeah. I'm going to let you know you forgot. Okay. You're going to hear that for about a week. But yeah, we don't. Yeah, I also have Helen's birthday on my calendar. And like, either I'm calling her at 12:01 or first thing in the morning, waking her up, like, happy birthday, getting it on, you know, letting her know I remember, you know. So, yeah.
I'm not calling at 12 in the morning, but yeah, I love calling when I wake up.
We be calling.
That's some real, boy. Y'all real now. All of you. Now, I know I'm going to get, so y'all all passed. Okay. You passed that piece. I know someone's going to fail this one because I know this one with Helen. Who is always late?
Helen.
Jess.
Peace.
Jazz is. That's right. Yes. When we went to lunch, yeah, wasn't Jazz the one we were waiting for Whitney?
Yes, and she went right there.
Went right in the building. We were across the street.
Man, me, and I have my alarm set. I promise you, it's like squirrel. Somebody gets my attention. I'm sitting them there ministering on the street. And then I'm like, hey, I got to go. And I'm trying to be like.
Proverbs 21:5 tells us, if you plan and work hard, you will have plenty. Yet for many, money feels stressful and overwhelming. If you're tired of worrying about bills and debt, there's a better way. Kira Speed, a financial coach, helps individuals and families walk in wisdom and peace with their money. And she can help you build a plan that aligns with your spiritual values and also helps you feel empowered with your money so that you can save, pay down debt, and build wealth for you and your family. Interested in learning more? Visit moneyempowered.com to schedule your free 60-minute consultation.
And then I'm like, hey, I gotta go. And I'm trying to be like, but I'm like, it's always like that. And I'm like, man, and I'm very apologetic about it. Like, I'll be like, listen, this is my first time with this human experience. Please show me some grace, please, because I be messing up.
Oh, I love it. That's funny. And now, like, let me tell y'all about Helen church service. She comes in when the pastor's about to wrap it up. I mean, that's really bad.
That part was for her right there. That part right there was for her. Yeah.
Now, this is a touching one. I have to ask, what's one moment when your friend showed up for you when you felt like no one else did, or you know, you were really in that that funk or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, let's talk about that moment. We in jazz.
Who want to start? You want to start with?
Yeah, I can start. I think this summer I was going through some tough times with my husband, and Jazz was one of the first people I called because I knew she was going to, one, blame it on me, and then for real, kind of walk me through, like, what to do in a godly way and not just my way, and that's exactly what I needed.
Wow.
Yeah. I would say last year when I was making the transition out of one career path and walking into a new one, Whitney, she was, even when she like, girl, what are you doing? She still supported me. She answered the phone each time. I don't even know how, like, I know one day we were on the phone for like almost 2 hours. She's in the middle of taking her daughter somewhere. She never gets off the phone with me. She's still just talking to me. And I'm telling you, I only had 4 people I was talking to during that time. And she was one of the biggest people who showed up for me. She made sure that she seen me during that time. She encouraged me during that time. I know I was pulling on her real hard.
Yeah.
I'm pulling all things out of her. But I know that the importance of, like, the friend praying for me and just being there. And sometimes that's more so what it is in a friendship. Not even saying anything, but just being present and showing that you're there and supporting, even though you might not be in favor of that person's decision, still being supportive. And she's been Team Jasmine ever since. And so she's one of my closest friends. I said that she's on my personal board of advisories. Like, you got to have somebody that's going to hold you down like that and tell you the truth. And she tells me the truth. I love that part about her.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful. Michelle, Helen?
I can say it's been several times, actually. But the two main times is, the first one was when my husband and I was having difficulty in our marriage. And of course I went to her because she's a person, Michelle will definitely not necessarily take my side. She'll be neutral. And I know she will tell me if I'm wrong. And she was definitely there for me for that and encouraging. And then the second time was when I was making a huge decision to step down from management position, something part of me didn't want to do,
yeah. But
I knew it was time to make a change. So she was there for both of those times, encouraging, just like, she was saying, you know, even if she didn't say anything, just to be an ear, just to be listening to what I have to say, you know. Sometimes that's all you need is a listening ear. And Michelle has always been that person. Yeah. So I appreciate her for that.
Good deal. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been many, many times. Helen has been there for me. I can say one time that really sticks out, and it was early on in our friendship, is when my daughter was really, really sick. And me being a first-time mom, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I had to rush into the hospital, and they admitted her, and she was like maybe 15 months old. She was a baby. And I didn't know what to do, and I was on the phone, like, crying to Helen, and she was working at Wake Med at the time, and snot just dripping, right? Like, I was like hysterical in this doctor's in this hospital, and she took the time to come to the room to help calm me down and explain to me what was going on with my baby, because again, I was a first time mom and I didn't understand what was happening with my baby. And so that resonated with me, right? Like, she was at work, and she has always done that. whenever I went to the hospital for myself or for my baby or a family member, she would always, you know, if she's on duty, she's coming down to check on me before she gets off or when she has the chance. So that's one big thing with her. And another time is when I lost my mother and my grandmother, my great grandmother. She really was supportive and very helpful with me getting through that and just understanding what I, you know, just trying to be a friend and be there and understand that I was going through a grieving period as a young mother, losing my mother. She was just really there and really, I mean, I don't know. She was just great, you know. And one more time, when I had to quit my job, and I am not a person that will quit a job. I'll stay on a job until I can, I mean, I'll just stay until they let me go. And very rarely do I get let go. But this job, I wasn't going to let it go. And Helen was like, Michelle, it is making you physically and mentally drained and sick. You got to let it go. And I had to listen because I wasn't listening to my body, but I listened to my friend. And she motivated me, encouraged me the whole time. So, and I got through it. And, So yeah.
These are touching moments, man. I really appreciate the openness from all four of you. And I'm listening to it, and the whole time I'm thinking, like, number one, thank God y'all have each other. But number two, man, just think about the people who don't have anyone to lean on in those moments, man. It's just, it just makes you appreciate this just that much more. What is something you've never said out loud, but you want your friend to know today? And Michelle and Helen, I'll start with you.
It's times I've told her I love her, you know, I'm there for her. Like, it's, I don't think it's anything I have kept from her that she does not know. It's
all right. Tone it down. I mean, you call my question stupid, but yeah, I'm just.
Nothing.
No, I get it. I'm playing. Michelle, you feel the same way?
I do. Nothing. I do. Okay. Yeah.
What about y'all, Jazz and Whit?
I'm piggybacking off of it. I'm very vulnerable with my friends. Like, I'm very emotional. Yeah. I tell my friends that I love them all the time. I tell them how appreciative I am of them. I tell Whitney this all the time. I tell her all the time. She's a good wife. I tell her to show herself grace and get off my boy's back. She's a great mom. I think that it's nothing that I've kept from her. I tell her, and we're still learning. It's so funny. Like, we're still learning things about one another that we hadn't opened up about certain things. And then we were talking the other day, and she was like, "You never mentioned anything about that before." And then I was like, "Yeah." And I promise you, like, she's sitting up there asking me questions. And so I know that she's, like, really engaged and she wants to know. And I'm like, dang. And I've shared things with her that I haven't even shared with people that's been in my life for 20, 30 years. And I'm like, this woman is really wanting to know all of these things about me. And so I'm thankful. If I never said this piece, though, like, I'm thankful that you allow me to share space with you. Mm-hmm. If you've never said that before, I'm thankful for that. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Weird.
I don't think there's nothing that I haven't told her either. Once she's my friend, I'm kind of like an open book. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you do have to peel back the layers, but she's really good at that. She'd be all in my business.
Yeah, I could see Jazz.
Because I want to be able to handle her with care. Get so comfortable with people that we are in relationship with that we stop handling them with care. So I want to know the things that might set her off. I want to know those things because she deserves to be handled with care.
I agree with you, Jazz. Yeah. I do. It sounds like what y'all saying is, hey, we communicate. That sounds like a male problem where y'all don't tell your friends how you feel. That's the vibe I was getting from all that.
I told you that before. Yeah.
It's understood though. We got it. We understand one another.
Y'all men don't be knowing nothing about it. Yeah, listen, what's your grandma name? They don't be knowing nothing.
Grandma.
we gotta get a little deeper than that. I want to know all the things.
We get paranoid when you're asking all those questions, man. So I might have to have a group of guys on here, and so we see how that turns out.
Yeah, it can be sure.
Beard.
You said it will be short.
It'll be
is
short.
That what you said?
It's gonna be short. Then y'all gonna start talking about sports. You're gonna be starting to talk about boys. Ain't gonna be here. You gonna start talking about jits. You might add a little bit of juice in there. That it's a different. You can be the one talking, man. All the questions.
I'm not going to disagree with all that. But from the bottom of my heart, man, I thank y'all. Before we close it out, I'm going to give both sets of friends anything y'all want to say, share. I don't care what it is. You can say it. The floor is yours. I'm going to start with Michelle and Helen. What do you have?
Thank you for having us and inviting us to this tonight. I appreciate that. That was really good. Really good vibes, really good, you know. Nice to meet Wit and Jazz.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. You always been good people. I'm glad my sister has you as a friend.
Oh, so. Thank you. I heard what you said about me at her birthday party too.
Right. I told
you. Mm-hmm. What did I say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even remember. I'm always saying some off the wall stuff.
I tell her everything.
Mm-hmm. I see, but I don't remember what I said.
He had a big old grin on his face, and he walks up to me. He goes, "Where's your friend Michelle? Where your best friend at?" Over there. What are you talking about? And he busts out laughing. I was like, "Oh, you thought she wasn't gonna come or something?"
But see. You misunderstood, Helen. I wasn't condemning Michelle. I was condemning you, saying you better had invited her. That's what I was getting at.
Oh, he's trying to shift it, Helen.
Hey, that's what I do.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Friend, my best friend. Yeah,
that's what I was. I was actually calling you out, saying you better have invited Michelle.
Dirty.
You should have seen that grin, his little face.
Little face.
Yeah. I'm talking. Right. Remember?
I thought you were supposed to be saying. I did say you could talk about whatever. what else you have to say, Helen?
Thanks for having me and my best friend. Yes. And it was. Meeting Wit and Jazz, and it brought up a lot of memories, you know. Sometimes, you know, Michelle and I is almost 30 years, so, you know, to just sit here and talk about the things we've been through and how we appreciate each other, how we've been there for each other, it really makes me feel good to have a friend that I can depend on, and we can still grow together as we age. In this world.
That's right. Age gracefully at that.
Yes. I'm with that. Amen. I agree. With Jazz.
It was nice to meet everybody. And I think good to see that people can be best friends for 30 years. So yes. I'm looking forward to that journey with you, Jazz. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, man, I'm going to be aging backwards. I don't know how that's going to happen. But yes. I would say, yes, it was nice to meet you, Helen and Michelle. Thanks for having me on. I just want to leave your listeners with just a small little nugget that I've learned, that adult friendships are difficult, and as life goes on, I think Helen, you were talking about when you lost your grandmother, your great grandmother, and your mother. Like those difficult times will make friendships better because a friend is made through adversity. And I would just say that if you have a friend, just make sure that you're there for that person. You show up for them, and like we call out of work. We won't call out of work because we don't want to miss an engagement. We won't call out. We'll be like, oh, we will miss an engagement for something like that. But just use your like your friendship as a platform to make sure that you're showing up for them, that they don't feel abandoned or isolated in those dark times. Just always show up for your friend as much as possible. Show your friend grace. And just be present when you're there with them. Don't be looking at your phone. Don't be looking at your watch. Mm. And it's tough just being having a friend, especially when you have life going on. So I'm just thankful that I was able to come on here and speak about the friendship that God has given me with Whitney. And it's a very authentic and flourishing relationship. And I love every minute of it.
Mm. Man, you dropped some nuggets too. Now, this was a big accomplishment, Jazz. So I'm telling you, Whitney really loved you. We got her on the podcast. This is big.
What a shock.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asking her for, man, it's been a year and a half. So
okay. No, wait. Let's not make this about me.
My friend is growing. My friend, man. Man, I'm so proud of my friend. My friend is brilliant. She's starting to become so gentle. I love the gentleness that's coming out. Like, my friend is
bold. I think I'll take some of the credit for that. No, I'm
just... You gotta take a little bit of it.
I think it's aging.
Are you still on your keto? You still on your keto? She's staying on your back?
Yeah, I'm still doing the keto.
Okay, look, I'm gonna stay off of you a bit.
Oh, that was beautiful, y'all, for real, for real. So I just appreciate you. And to know that y'all have each other, four people who are really special, I think all four of y'all are to have someone who can celebrate you, support you, and just be the rock when you need them to be. It's just really heaven sent. I don't have any much more to say, but thank you. I appreciate you. And y'all always have a place on the Unknown Preacher LA. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher. The unknown.